You're listening to one in a series of podcasts from the 2009 High Ed Web Conference in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
So good morning, everybody. I'm Mary. I manage web development services at Princeton University in the Office of Information Technology. And my colleague is Joe Karam, who manages Collaboration Services Group. And his group is responsible for the underlying infrastructure for our service. So what I'm hoping to do today is describe to you our service. I will talk about the web development and design side. Joe will talk about the infrastructure side. And we just want to share with you our experiences in deciding to use a content management system, how we've been handling that for the past several years, the pitfalls that we've experienced, how we're overcoming some challenges, and I'm hoping that you can take away some ideas and there will be some conversation about what you would like to do, the challenges that you're facing, and share all that information with each other. So the service is comprised of the two groups, mine focusing on user needs for things such as design. We do both templated design. We also do custom design. We've written modules for the content management system. We also handle the general technical support. We have a developer on call every day. People ask all sorts of user questions, from very basic questions about how to use the system to highly sophisticated questions about programming, and we field all of those and support users at all of those levels. Mainly, what we try to do is provide standardized modules. When we purchased this content management system, it did not come with some modules that users on campus really wanted. A very simple way of publishing news articles, for example, or a way of publishing calendars, departmental level calendars, also for displaying courses. So those are some examples of the modules that we've written in-house. And then also we provide this tiered design service, and I will show you some examples of how we do that. Oh, did we lose Joe?
Yes, we lost Joe.
Okay. Well, I will take I'll take his last bullet there. Joe's group is responsible for the environment. So we have a development, a QA, and a production environment. I guess I should say environments, because it's actually a very complicated infrastructure with, I think we're up to 13 servers now. And John is actually one of our most critical people, because it's John who really works on the day-to-day issues with the infrastructure and makes sure that we're up and running. So we support both the university's main website. I guess I'll just keep talking till we,
till we get Joe.
And we also support departments. So our Office of Communications concerns itself with the main presence of the university. And my group not only supports that site, but we don't do any design work for that site. Joe's group also makes sure that things are constantly, you know, up and running. But my group really focuses on the needs of academic departments, programs, groups, research groups, faculty projects. So we do split our responsibilities that way. Okay, Joe, you're back up.
Sorry about that.
I think it was all right.
Okay, so we provide services for sites such as these. This is Princeton School of Engineering. We designed this site. We developed this site. You can see that they're running news. We developed an application for managing and displaying news. So there's just one example. Here's one that will be published soon. It's under development right now. It's the Center for African American Studies. And so you can see the different types of sites that we produce. Any questions for me so far? Okay, brief history. So I'm sure that some of you have encountered this at your own institutions. Departments were really left on their own to figure out how to produce their websites. We had a very decentralized service. You could buy space on a server. You could then develop your site however you wanted to, straight HTML. We've got plenty of people still today using Joomla or Drupal or WordPress or whatever content management system of choice. And people were really left to their own devices. They were dependent on vendors. Some departments were spending lots and lots of money on vendors. This was a problem before even this climate of economic and the economic downturn. So the content management system was purchased in 2004. And that predates me, by the way, by 3 years. So I came into this existing environment. And it was owned by the university's Office of Communications. So primarily, it was the prime need was to have a system that people in the Office of Communications could work with. They have a lot of editors, for example, a lot of news writers who needed to get content up there without knowing how to program a website. And then the secondary need was for departments. But what happened is that departments jumped on this, and demand grew very, very rapidly, very dramatically. We now have in the neighborhood of 400 websites in the content management system. And those represent a fraction of the possible websites that could be developed on this system. It's a fraction of the existing websites at the university. So the service was moved to the Office of Information Technology. It was clear that in order to really support the infrastructure and have integrated services, it had to be within the Office of Information Technology. And so our success is tied to our constant collaboration, not only on the design side, where we work with all of these departments, but on the technical side, our work, our daily work, back and forth with Collaboration Services Group. Okay, I'm going to turn it over to Joe, who may not be there, who disappeared. Yes,
Scott. Can you talk about number of sites? Can you talk about top level folders on a single host name?
Yes. So all the sites in Roxanne are www.princeton.edu/name of site. So we do have departments who have their own instance. But most of the departments are on an instance that we created called department. And those are all root level folders.
So they all have their own perhaps design or navigation?
Yes. So the model for design is Princeton does not dictate design to its departments or programs. The university colors are orange and black. People are free to use those colors. There are some requirements and recommendations. Our Office of Communications publishes those requirements and recommendations, and so we do adhere to those. There are requirements, for example, to show the university logo prominently on the homepage. Actually, it's through the site. That there be a search. That all sites are checked for compliance with not only these requirements, not only those requirements, but requirements, for example, for accessibility for the handicapped. But they're very, yes? Yes, so the way that is done is my group develops templates. So we ensure that our design framework meets those requirements. We also ensure that any applications that we develop meet those requirements. But it is up to the content editors to ensure that the content of their sites meet requirements. And any site that is published does go through a review process with the Office of Communications. And they do check through to make sure alt tags exist, for example. We ensure in design, because all of our design is standards-based, we use CSS. We ensure, for example, that there is high contrast, that links are obvious, that sort of thing. But there are a couple content editors, even though they are required to meet this list, and we give them the list, you know, some are more sophisticated than others, some are more diligent than others, and so, you know, we do tend to find near launch time that there are some sites that sail through and some sites where you have to go back to the prime editor and say, okay, you know, you've got to include all tags. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, we'll go in order. Stephen?
Does the CMS not support enforcing
this
for you?
Well, it will not enforce, for example, including tags, for example. No, it won't. It is up to the editor to ensure that the images are tagged. Yes, Stephen? Well, there are tools, there are software tools to check quickly. So I don't know if any of you attended the University of Illinois talk yesterday morning. So that's a tool where you can run your site through. There's another one, the name of which escapes me at this moment, but my developers do use it. And then, but the Office of Communications, they will go through a site manually as well. So. The review, whether that's labor intensive or not, I think it really depends on the site. A lot of our sites are actually pretty simple sites. And because the framework complies, that takes a lot of the review, the necessary review out of it. Really, the thing that I find the most, the feedback that we get for our clients from the Office of Communications is that alt tag. I don't know why, for some reason, it seems to be the gotcha for a lot of editors. So the review process, we allow a 2-week window for the review process. It actually used to be a 1-week window, but once I came on and we started this group, we said, you know, we just need to have more time. We do some review with the client, and then, you know, we just wanted to give communications more time as well so they had a more comfortable cushion. Yes, Catherine. Yes. Yes, we do. So I will show you. We offer a couple of free templates, and I'm very excited about that, actually, because we're about to publish a couple more. But design is in the hands of the designers and in the hands of the department. And we do follow best practices. We do have guidelines that we follow. We care very, very much about usability. We do information architecture sessions with departments. Frequently, departments already know their information architecture. Some come very well prepared, others do not. And so that's actually one of my favorite parts of the job, is we sit down with departments and work through the content. We are not a communications department ourselves, so we're not responsible for the words in that website, but we do provide a lot of guidance because of the experience that we have and because we want to know the structure of that site before we do design. So the basic process is this conversation about what the client needs. Do they want to publish news, for example? Do they want to publish events? Do they need a people directory? Do they want video on the site? Are they looking for a slideshow, et cetera, et cetera? And then we have what we call a working session. We provide them with documentation about information architecture, and then we generally set aside 2 hours. Sometimes it takes a lot longer. I showed you the School of Engineering's site. That took multiple days of working together because they have a very complex site, and it's a very news-heavy site, but that's an unusual situation. And so in this two-hour session, we then go through requirements again, and we talk about the structure of the site, and we come away with an outline of the site. And we use that for ourselves, for the design. So requirements informs information architecture, information architecture informs design and development. We need that roadmap. And we tend to put in the top-level navigation as well. I'll show you examples. I have some more screenshots to show you. But by putting in the top-level navigation, we find that just helps the content editors in the department get up and running quickly. You do not need the design template in order to get started, but we find that most people feel that they need that. And then that also keeps the client on track with their content. So this is very much a collaborative process. We're here primarily to talk about collaboration, our collaboration internally, but there is a lot of collaboration with clients as well. I don't know the total number of sites at Princeton. I would imagine it is at this point over 1,000. It would grow well beyond. It can grow well beyond that. And we have just a little under 400 in the content management system. So that are either live or that are under development right now. Yes?
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, do you have departments that have a need for custom development with CMS? And if so, if you're charged back, how do you handle that?
Yes.
How do you handle prioritization versus weight and stuff for the university versus we're going to meet your deadline and get your stuff done and kind of get it better than everyone else?
Okay, so did everybody hear that question? That was an excellent question. How do we prioritize when we get a department that makes a request for custom development, for example? And then we've also got projects going on for what we call it the university's core site, so the main website. And we set up, a project with a department. We've got a deadline. And then, another priority comes up, and it's for the main site. What do we do? So we depend very heavily on project management. We have a methodology. It's the Princeton Project Management Methodology, which I've modified a little bit for our needs. But there are multiple parts to that question. So first, or to that answer, we do have this methodology, which includes front-loading a project and saying, we've got all of your requirements, and then we write all of those down into a document, and it is a signed agreement. And I assign a date, a delivery date. And I say, we will do our best to meet this date. But I never promise the exact date, because such things do happen. So, for example, maybe 2 months ago, we were asked to improve advanced people search for the main website. That was not on my radar, but some high-level administrators wanted to see this happen ASAP, so I did have to shift. Now, I've got another high-level administrator saying, I'd like you to make this modification to one of your modules. When is that going to happen? And so I very politely explain that, another project came up, and if these priorities need to be, reprioritized, then the discussion needs to happen at a level above mine, significantly above mine. So part one. Part two, I'm trying very hard to get us away from custom development. We have these core modules that we've written. So, for example, news. News was a module that we recently rewrote. It was very complicated to rewrite that. We're telling people, thank you very much for, suggesting an enhancement to the module. We love that feedback. We take that into consideration when we are writing version 2 or release 2. I have just been asked, we have an events module. I have just been asked if we can remove search from the events module. Those are the sorts of requests that we get. Or several departments would like a research module for displaying faculty research, to show their papers in an attractive way. That is just not something that we can do right now. So part of my job is, one of the difficult parts of my job is that I have to say, I'm sorry, we would like to do that, we'll do that in the future, but it's not on the list. So it's that juggling cats aspect of the job, which, what's coming up. We also have extremely high demand for our service. So as part of the history, the group really has only existed for a little less than 2 years now. There were 60 projects in the queue. We needed to address those as quickly as we could. We were given positions. So we now I have 5 developers and I have 3 graphics designers. And our web designers are web designers. They are not print designers. They can do that as well. But they are people who have to understand the content management system. I was very lucky that I inherited some designers who were already very tech savvy and who were very interested in how this system works. And they work very closely with developers. I would not tolerate a designer who said, I like this, make it happen. I'm sure you've never had that experience. So the designers and the developers sit together and they talk all day long. And I talk to them all day long. And we would not be able to do what we do if the designers did not understand the content management system to the level that they do. Yes. So that's, did everybody hear that? What's the separation of work? So there are certain things that we know about the content management system. There are certain templates that we've already designed. So we do have, everything's done with CSS. For example, when the designer understands the functionality of a module, that designer is able to, when we sit with the client and we talk about what they need, that designer is already creating a picture in his or her head about how we can display information in this module and how it can be displayed so that it is specific to that website. So can we turn off search? Can we, which fields can we show? Which fields can we not show? What are the basic requirements, so not even basic, actually detailed requirements of these modules and how things are displayed. We know things about navigation. They know things about navigation. They know very well the requirements that are put out by the Office of Communications, so we're always designing within that framework as well. So, there's a certain, that base level of knowledge has to be in place. And so then, during development, because we have standardized modules, we are now at a point where we can, and we've been at this point maybe for maybe a little less than a year, we know that some of these sites are going to go quickly. A lot of projects that used to require time on the part of the developers no longer require their time. They require their design projects, as far as we're concerned, because once a developer plugs in a module, the designer knows what to do with that module. So we're saving time that way. Yes? Yes. So departments, on their own servers, or we do have a LAMP server where people can get space on the centralized LAMP server, and they could then put in what they wanted there. No. Right. So that's an excellent question. We do not force anybody to use the content management system. It is, however, the only officially supported content management system. So if you want centralized free web hosting and 24/7 support for that infrastructure, and if you want free training, and if you want free technical support, and if you want a free template, because your department doesn't have very much of a budget for this, or if you want custom design and you want to take advantage of the modules that we have, then you'll use the content management system. So it's actually a very nice position for us to be in as well as a service provider. I do get questions. I get requests. Can you develop a Dreamweaver site for me that's really cool by the end of the month? And I'm able to say we do not do any Dreamweaver work. I mean, my designers and developers do use Dreamweaver for editing purposes, but we don't develop Dreamweaver sites, and we only develop in the content management system. Oh, we're losing Joe again. Yeah, poor Joe has not had an opportunity to talk. Is he gone again?
Yeah.
All right, well. So in the infrastructure, here are the goals of the infrastructure. High availability. I actually don't have the statistics on our exact availability, but I'm sure it's over 99 point something. You're not? Okay, that's our goal. Scalability, something that we're working on because of the explosive growth in interest and use of the system. And security. Joomla sites were hacked recently. on the LAMP server. We had three that we moved within a day or two over to Roxen sites. In all fairness, they were already, the content was already being moved over before we flipped the switch like that. But you know, that's what happens. And we've got server and application management. I think that if we continue to lose Joe, I may ask John to step in and say a few things about these. And we provide free hosting. It's something significant for the departments that we're able to provide this for free. Yes. So disaster recovery, do you want to talk about that? And I think that just in the course of the conversation, I covered some of these points. So I just wanted to talk about two more things. We rotate operational support. So we've got five developers in the group. I do have one of those developers is the team leader, and he really is also our prime developer. So I'm constantly looking at our processes and trying to improve things, and I decided when I get back I need to talk to him about taking him off operational support. Because we've got four other people, but every week there's someone assigned to answer problem tickets. We have a ticketing system, and you know, somebody emails roxen@princeton.edu that goes into our ticket queue. So that's become a very important part of our service, in fact, that we can dedicate someone. And in fact, we have to dedicate more than one person each day. I think it's at about 1.5 that we need every day, because the questions are so diverse. They could be specific to a site that one of the other developers has worked on. And so even the person on call has to route questions sometimes to other people. But as the service continues to grow, I think we're going to need more people on technical support. And project management, I talked about that earlier. That is another key to our success is the careful articulation of each project. We do have these micro projects, something that we can get done in 5 hours or less. An email suffices for those, but projects that have money associated with them do get project agreements that are signed. And we charge $50 an hour for our services, by the way, undercutting, of course, what a vendor would charge. But also, our salaries are paid for anyway. I actually am a cost recovery shop. I have to recover a certain percentage of my group salaries. But in reality, I think that that's a psychological point, because it requires commitment on the part of the client. Once they agree to something and they know that there's money associated with it, they're much likely to stick with what they've agreed to. And I cannot tell you how many times I have gone back to a project agreement and been able to say to a client, this is what we agreed to do by this date. And if you would like to make changes to that, we can certainly do that. We will reevaluate the project. We will reassign the dates, and we will increase the cost. Ooh, 10 minutes left. Okay. And we do not create content. That is a wonderful, wonderful place for my group to be. We are not responsible for the words that are put on websites. So it gives us this ability to create the frameworks, but then not worry about the sentences and the paragraphs and the words. Okay, IT does take a village. If my group and John and Joe's group are the primary service providers, we have to acknowledge that we actually depend on a number of other groups as well. So we've got a help desk. That's the primary way that people contact the Office of Information Technology, is through the help desk. And the help desk does answer some basic questions, and they know very well how to route questions that that require more detailed answers. The networking group, monitoring disaster recovery, training. Our training group has taken over training for the content management system from us. It's freeing up the developers, so I'm very grateful for that. The project office, so the Princeton project office gets involved in our larger projects, things that are very high level, that have high level administrators who care about the projects, or projects that require, that have interdependencies with multiple groups or departments across the campus. They come in and they help us coordinate those projects. And then the departmental computing staff. So I know every college is different, but at Princeton we have dedicated technical staff in the academic departments and in the schools. Sometimes these are large staffs. Sometimes it's one person who's shared among departments, and so we depend on them too for the technical support, and they're frequently the editors of websites as well. Okay, well, I think we're fine. So here are some of the ways that we collaborate. We all get along really well together, so that's a huge, huge help. We have a lot of conversations. I was grateful to have some time actually with John because of this conference where we could sit down and talk for a while. We meet frequently. We have a standing meeting with Collaborative Services Group biweekly. We have the trouble ticket system. All of that is open and tracked, and anybody in either group can see what's going on in any ticket at any time. We maintain several listserv lists. We use this project process. We go out for ice cream. We do have a brew pub in town, so sometimes we go there. Go out for coffee. So there's a lot of talking that has to happen. And then there's the collaboration, or the working with customers. Let me move over to the side. So as I said before, projects are defined, agreements are signed. Our own administration gets involved sometimes in these high-level projects. We have user meetings throughout the academic year. It's the Rocks and User meeting. We get together bi-monthly. We no longer serve cookies and coffee, but we do provide a forum for any user on campus to come and listen and talk. And part of our user meetings, we've got the room set up with tables. And at each table, we station a designer or developer. And I call it the Ask an Expert part of the session. We put up a little sign that says ask a designer or ask a developer, and people can get one-on-one help during that time. And again, the range of questions is extremely broad. We might have somebody who is working on their own department site and says, you know, I just need some help with CSS. Can I get a quick tutorial on CSS? And we do that. Sometimes new ideas come out of those, requests for new projects, and I'd like you to develop a custom module for me. All sorts of things come out of that time, but the users really appreciate that. Bi-monthly. In the meantime, we have a listserv list that's very active. It's called Roxen Support. The hundreds of people on campus who are part of the Roxen community on campus belong to the listserv list, and people answer each other's questions. Sometimes people from my group answer questions. Sometimes other users on campus answer each other's questions. It's an extremely helpful forum. And it generates a lot of goodwill, too. And so it helps form relationships across campus as well. Somebody new to the system will ask a question, you know, how do I change the order of the menu on my site? And another, you know, user from somewhere else on campus will answer. And then there we go. We've got help set up. We've got a relationship started there. And so what we're trying to do is just provide as many channels of support as we can for people who are using this system, and it seems to be working. We have a user support site. I have a service site called WDS, but this is actually my preferred site for technical support. It's something relatively new. We keep adding to that. So questions that come up on the listserv, for example, we turn into FAQs. So that's always expanding. And I think I mentioned the trouble ticket system and listserv list. And I know we're running out of time. So cost savings. Expensive vendors, no longer needed. I can tell you that in two instances, we saved departments 85% by having their sites developed in-house. In both instances, they were very complicated sites that needed custom development. In one case in particular, it's one that my staff feels it's sort of close to our hearts. We feel very good about this site because it's the sort of thing that you can do if you work in academia. It's a site that will support people on the ground in fragile states, such as war-torn countries or countries that have just come out of war and they need to establish an infrastructure in that country. So it answers questions for practitioners like, how do I set up a police force? How do I handle garbage collection in my country? That is still under development. It's a very complex site. But what it allowed that group to do was to, because they saved so much money by having us do the development, they were able to hire a staff member who is now writing the content for that website. So they've given a person a job. They're getting this information out to people at, you know, on the ground more quickly as a result. So that's the sort of thing that we feel very good about. Can I just let you read the rest of that slide? No more redundant services, centralization. I wanted to get to a little bit more of the fun stuff, which is to show you some examples. John, here's monitoring tools. So the collaboration services group has written some monitoring tools, see what's happening on the system. Anything you want to say about that? We can just see activity. Another monitoring tool. So Roxen itself did not come with all of the tools that we would have liked to have had. So John and others in the group are writing monitoring tools. It works. This is Roxen out of the box.
Yes. Yeah. The reason we needed a Where Is My Roxen is that given that we have four front end servers and two edit servers, there's this open question for whoever in my group is on call as to where did John put the services. And so we created Where Is My Roxen so you can go to a site and it tells you where the services are running.
A very useful tool. Okay, I want to show you a few things from the portfolio. So this is, I don't know if any of you have caught any of the news. We have made such outlets as Fox News. We're running an e-reader pilot at the university along with several other universities. Students have been given Kindles, and they're doing their reserve readings on their Kindles. And we put up this website using a template that I'll show you, the actual bare bones template. And we did this whole site in 3 hours from request to publication. That was because the editor had the content ready to go. She put it in within 3 hours. Here's another site we did recently. This is the Department of Facilities on campus. This uses I just want to point out, this uses a horizontal navigation, for example, as its primary navigation. So we do horizontal and we do vertical navigation. We frequently tell departments we recommend the vertical because then their site can grow as navigation grows. This uses news announcements and outages, all coming from our news.princeton.edu application. Those are just different categories. This is one called the Future of Journal. It's Future of Children Journal. It's an online journal. It was hosted by an ISP for a number of years, but the group on campus wanted to bring it into the university structure. So that was one that we did recently. Here's the free design theme that the e-reader pilot was based on. All we did was change the banner. Here's an upcoming free design theme, one of several that we're about to publish. So you can just, again, change the banner image, write your content, put your navigation in, and you have a free working website. I believe that's my last slide. Good. I will stick around, and maybe my last slide is my contact information and Joe's contact information. Yes. I will stick around if you want to keep chatting. And thank you very much. I hope you're able to leave with some ideas for your own jobs and your own institutions. And thank you.